You're listening to Bit by Bit, July 11th, 2008. Welcome, this is Bob Sprankle, and we are going back to the University of Southern Maine, back to Alice Barr's class on podcasting and vodcasting in the classroom. This is the fifth day, Friday, and what you're going to hear is the students, myself included, presenting our final presentations. We were able to do this online in a myriad of ways. We Ustreamed it. We're able to podcast it, and we also did the Cover It Live back channel blogging, live blogging that I talked about in my last show. So with all the technology going on, you can hear at times where we're running around kind of juggling all that. It was probably a bit of overkill, but boy, it was a lot of fun. I know you'll enjoy these presentations, and I'll put the live blogging notes that I took right within the show notes. So sit back. Enjoy back to July 11th, 2008 with Alice Barr and her students in podcasting and vodcasting in the classroom.
Welcome to 2008 using podcasts and vodcasts for teaching and learning in the classroom. Today we're trying a couple of new tools. We're trying Cover It Live, we're trying Ustream, and we're going to be podcasting final projects from the class. And the class is learning about using a back channel and doing a live presentation. So I hope you enjoy it, and thanks for joining us.
Should we turn that audio off there?
Yeah, probably you should turn your sound down. That would be great.
All right, so I guess I'm starting. This is Bob Sprankle. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me first say this has been an incredible week, just great conversations going on under the tutelage of Alice Barr, who just leads an incredible class. So it's been really great. I've gotten so much work done for podcasting and VoiceThread stuff. So the presentation that I've been working on can be found on our wiki space. Did you put that into the chat room? Okay. And on my page, Bob. And just a little back story to it. What I do in the computer lab, I teach in the computer lab at Wells Elementary School for grades K through 4. And what I've been doing this whole past year is having a teacher's assistant as one of the roles in the class. So every class, on a rotating basis, a student will come up to the computer that I use to introduce a lesson connected to the overhead, and they will help me teach the lesson. So when we're playing a game or the mouse is being used at all, then I turn that over to my teacher's assistant. It's been really great. They love the role. And so what I've set up with VoiceThread is I'm going to extend that this year to also include the scribe, as Darren Kurapatwa would call the role. And I have a link, if you're not familiar with Darren Kurapatwa, I have a link right on my page pointing to his blog, where he teaches math in Canada and has his high school students take notes and pretty much summarize the lesson each day in class, and then kids go home and they have that information. So what I've set up is a voice thread, and you may be able to see that on the page. I don't know how big that is on Ustream. I've set up a voice thread, and what I've done is put in all the rounds. I made 36. I usually get about 36 classes in a year, 36 rounds with just a simple picture, and then I'll have the kids sign my teacher's assistant sign in every class and do one of the following for an audible or they could type type of reflection. So we have, in our school, we have what we call mastery objectives that in kids' language will tell the kids the expectations and the goals of the lesson. And I have been posting that with my lessons on a Moodle. And so what I want to do is have the kids pick one of the following that they'll do on the VoiceThread. They can explain the mastery objective. They can share a highlight from the lesson, so that would probably have to be done before they leave class towards the end of the lesson. They can talk about why we did the activity. They could talk about what they like or dislike about the lesson. And they could also ask questions that they still have about the lesson. So basically, on each round, you'll see a smattering of different students that have left messages. And I'll just show you what a voice thread looks like when I have different grades using one. I'll go back to last year's work. Let's see. So here's one where I had grades 2, 3, and 4 continue talking about Project Tomorrow's survey that we did. So you see how, I hope you can see in the small Ustream, but you see the different colors and the different grades on the icons of the kids that were talking. So when my first graders go through the lesson, they'll be logged in as a first grader, and it'll show up as that color icon with a 1. So I have 6 first grade classes. So on every round, there should be 6 grade 1 icons with all those kids adding something different to the voice thread. And then there'll also be grade 2, which I only have 4 grade 4 classes, and so on up. So at the end of the year, I'll have the entire page of all the entire lessons all commented on, and then I'll export this to a movie and hand it over to my administrator and anybody else who would like to see it. It'll be on the web. Right now, what I've been doing this year is I talk about the lessons in what I call Tech Time with Mr. S, and I tell all that we're going to be doing that round on a podcast, so kids can go home and play that for their parents. When their parent says, "Well, what did you do in computer lab?" and they go, "I don't know," they can go home and play that. But now I'm extending it so that they're really telling the story. I'm sure I'll still keep my Tech Time with Mr. S podcast so that they know what's happening beforehand, but now they get to tell the story as well. So that's my plan. Any questions?
Questions for Bob?
No, this is before the helper. So this is this on this site right here. This is an entire lab signing in at one time. And so even when you see grade 3 number 15, there's going to be like 4 of those from different classrooms. You're only seeing that one icon. The way that I have the kids sign in now is they'll log in with a username, which is the email address for their grade level, and then a password. And then when you do that with VoiceThread, you can have multiple identities under that same account. So when they log in, and let's see if I can bring this up, they I'll log in as a second grader. Let's hope that I remember the password. Yeah, so when they log in, there's their icon down there. But if you click on that, it'll show all the different identities that they have. So I made 23 pictures so that they could log in with just their computer number. So we can kind of keep track of who's gotten their work done and who needs to go back and redo it and things like that. And then also it shows multiple icons on the page, which is good. Does that make sense? So if that was a classroom, and this is, well, actually, you should talk about this, Maureen. What you're going to do with your kids?
I'm going to have a different user for each grade. So my first grade will have the same, every first grader has the same username, same password. password, but they can create their own identity like that. But instead of the numbers, they're going to use some program. We might do Paint, we might do something else to create an avatar. So they'll choose their own identity.
And so I'll just repeat that for the stream people if that didn't come through. So Maureen has, how many kids are going to do this? You have, what, 200?
Yeah.
So she's going to have kids actually draw a picture of an avatar so that they can see their picture there rather than numbers, which is really nice. I think I'll leave that option for now with 500 kids, but that might be a lot.
How did you create all of these different identities?
The pictures themselves?
Well, just like, you know.
Oh, I signed up with our account.
Right, and so like you did grade 2, like you showed us, grade 2, and you have a password.
Right.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you.
Great job.
Who's next?
Awesome.
There's my tab.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Well, for my final project, what I did was I took an existing project that I started last summer with a class with Alice, and I incorporated what we learned this week. I have a blog at my school, and the purpose is to showcase student work and allow other students to comment. But currently, I manage it entirely, so the kids can put their comments up, but I moderate it, and which I will continue to do, to moderate comments. But as far as their work goes, I choose the work, I upload it, and so I want to give some ownership to the students, some more ownership. It's gone really well this year. The kids love having older or younger kids comment on their projects, but it's ready to take it that next step further. My goal is to, so what I've done is I set up a student account, and they can be contributors, but they can't make any other changes, and again, I moderate the work before it actually gets published. I'll show you the blog here, and just show you that I've added categories for each class, so that on the main page, like with any blog, you know, you see the most current entries. But then if you just wanted to look at the second grade entries, you could just click on second grade, and that'll just make it easier for parents if they really are looking for something that their child has done. If you go back here, I also incorporated one of the tools that Alice showed us. I love the RockU site. I just think that's really neat. I know the kids will have fun with that. That'll be a nice way for them to showcase, you know, field trips, and they can add in the comments, which will be really fun. So these are pictures just from the variety show we had last year. And coincidentally, I saw some students last night, and so I told them to check out the blog, and they were so excited that I was still updating it. So hopefully I'll get some comments.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So on my blog, I'm going to continue to use VoiceThread, which I had showed you early this week that I have used for, like, book reviews. But what I've done differently is I am setting up a VoiceThread account for every grade so that it will be easier to have multiple users all at the same time and be able to do projects within the classrooms. And for collaboration, I'm going to train my fifth graders on all these pieces of, you know, VoiceThread and using RockU and Audacity so that they can go down and work with the teachers in the primary grades, having centers so that kids can be doing these more in the classroom. Right now it's been more of doing them down in the lab. I'd like to start integrating in the classroom more with ongoing activities. For VoiceThread, one of the ideas that I came up with was in the beginning of every school year, I always do a getting to know you activity where the kids either interview someone, you know, a peer, and they do a little slideshow about that person, or just one about themselves, so I get to know them better and they get to know their new classmates better. But I'm going to do it now on VoiceThread. So I did one last night with my my daughters. Emily, the two-year-old, picked out the pictures of the things that she likes, her four favorite things, and then Allie narrated all about her little sister. So, and I think for this first activity with the students, I'm going to make it private, and so we can use pictures, because I do like to take pictures right off of, and we do other things with their photographs. So I think it would be nice to have their actual photographs for this activity, but we'll use it as it'll be private, so no one else can view it except for students in that class. And I think that will be a good lesson too, to teach them, you know, when to make things private and then when to make them public, and when you make them public, what you need to do for privacy. And so that's when we will make their avatars, either using Paint or some other program, and then those ones we'll be able to make public. So and then in addition to that, I just talked about how on my blog I used to do a peek of the week, which was a video highlighting something we've been doing in school, and it took a long time to produce, and you know, it didn't seem like a big deal, and we called it peek of the week from the start because the idea was to do it every single week. But by the time you know, videotape kids and edit it, and I have a very hard time, if any of you watch me trying to pick out music, I have a hard time picking out. It just takes me forever, you know, those transitions and all that. So I thought Audacity would help me simplify this and just do a very simple podcast, audio recording kids once a week in different classrooms talking about what they've been learning, and make the larger little movie productions more once a month, and also get the kids doing that, have a team of fifth graders working on the peak of the week and have a rotation so that they go around and they actually do all the recording. And I think it'll be much more manageable that way. So I put a link to the Radio Willow web guide, because it's a really great PDF you can download that gives you step-by-step, you know, planning out a podcast, which was great, very helpful.
Oh, nice.
So that's, I think that's pretty much it. Does anyone have any questions?
Very awesome.
Thanks.
Any questions for Maureen?
Okay, for mine, I was trying to think how I wanted to apply it in my classroom. I've taught 8th grade this is my 5th year, I believe, coming up, and I've taught 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. So I was trying to think how I could use, what I could use to incorporate podcasts in my class. I teach language arts and social studies, but I believe this year I'll be just language arts. So I was thinking, through the course of conversations we've had this week, that I would incorporate a podcast with discussions that we do on the different literary works that we read throughout the year. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to look just yet. It's on GCast. And I did set up an intro, if you will, to my podcast. And obviously there aren't any students on there yet because it's summer and they're probably out by the lake and having a grand time. So I just set it up through GCast, and you'll notice on the site that I tried a few attempts at it, and there's beginning. The intro was the very first one I did, and then I said, oh, I sound funny, because I never really have heard myself, so it was kind of interesting. And it also makes me think about when you speak, how many times people use the word and, so it's a good tool to focus in on how we speak publicly. So let me just play it real quick. It's about a little over 2 minutes.
Welcome to this week's language arts class, book talk and review at Great New Gloucester Middle School. In today's episode, we will be discussing the short story, Broken Chain, by Gary Soto. Students from Class 1 Language Arts will be talking about the main character, Alfonso. Alfonso is in middle school and trying to find his place in the world. Here is a snippet about Alfonso from the online version that can be found at Holt Elements of Literature internet site.
Alfonso sat on the porch trying to push his crooked teeth to where he thought they belonged. He hated the way he looked.
How could we describe Alfonso? Can any of you identify with him? Hi, this is Miss Wheat. It is my intention that this school year we will be setting up podcasts to present our reading logs and our opinions about different novels that we'll be reading throughout the year.
Yeah, that's basically what it's going to be, and I can't wait to see how this is going to work out and how it's going to look with a classroom of 25 students in front of me, and they probably already know how to do these things, and I'll be like, yeah, I just learned this summer, which I'm very excited about, and I can't wait to try to use it. And if it works the way I hope it does, I'm hoping to do it with other novels that we'll read. Plus, I have another assignment that I have the kids do. They reading logs. They have independent reading, and they have to read, now that we're back to quarters, they have to read 3 books or 4 books a quarter, and they have to fill out this form. But I was thinking, instead of doing that, more of being like a book critic or something, and that way it really gets them to think about the book, because a lot of times they'll just say, I liked it, and they'll say maybe a couple of things. But this way, I think it'll force them to really think about why they liked the book or why they didn't like the book, and that's okay too, as long as we're respectful. You know, that's fine too. So hopefully we'll do that as a podcast as well down the road. So maybe enough students will have read one book that maybe we can really get a good conversation going. So that's my hope.
Very nice.
Nice.
Hello, my name is Priscilla Bryan Gaffney, and I'm a librarian at SAD 57, which is in Waterboro. It encompasses 6 other smaller towns around there. And my final project is on a program that I've tried to implement for the last couple of years with 5th through 8th graders. It's called Literature with Lunch. And what kids do is they come in with their lunch, you know, bag lunch, hot lunch, whatever, via a pass that I've given them. And so this pass, when they go through the lunch ladies and stuff, allows them to go to the front of the line, so they can have, you know, to get in there and get out and come to the book discussion in the library. I have groups Monday through Friday, and we meet at lunch. We have 6 lunches, and we all meet at their particular lunch times. Some of the 7th and 8th graders have 20-minute lunch, and the 5th and 6th graders have a half an hour. So I have groups anywhere from 2 people to 22 kids, so it varies. All in all, I have about 55 kids. So that's kind of how the Literature with Lunch program works. And what I've done is, very simplistically, is create, through VoiceThread, create a little book review. And I've brought some of the books that I did. And what I did is just pull the front covers from like Amazon. And so those you will see on the VoiceThread, which is on my wiki page. And it's under Literature with Lunch. Whoops. And I've summarized. Oops. I've summarized.
Did you now make your VoiceThread private, maybe? Yep, go ahead and log into VoiceThread.
Oops.
So, probably, let's see what you're doing. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Sorry. How do I?
Let's see.
Oh, I'm logged in.
Okay, so what you want to do is go up to where it has the number 2.
Does it automatically start? It shouldn't start.
Now we want Alice.
You want me to put my phone? So I'm gonna. All right, I'm gonna get out and cover it live.
done is I've gone into VoiceThread and I recorded with through my voice. I've written a summary, introduced the books, written a summary, and then talked about some excerpts from the book. And so just to get the kids kind of excited about some of the books that we're going to be reading throughout this Literature with Lunch program. And this one's the Diary of a Wimpy Kid by Jeff Kinney is a pretty short one. So if...
So Alice is going to play it.
Oh, okay. All right.
My sound's on the way up.
Is it? Okay. Is that... Whoops. Do we need to do anything?
It's not you.
It's
not,
okay. It's me?
Yeah.
I can't play that. You want me to play the...
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm on the wrong...
That's okay. It's just, it's me talking, summarizing about the book.
She's going to play it.
But it's so much fun. Here we go. It's on your personal page.
Yes.
And I'm
there should be
from Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Oops.
There should be a couple other ones. Two.
You did. I'm just saying. Okay, here's the Literature with Lunch. Got it. I just
okay.
Got
it.
And you're going to have to sign in here.
Oh.
This is a book called The Revealers by Doug Wilhan. Bullied is one of the worst things a middle schooler can go through. Elliot Russell and Catalina are always treated badly because they are considered nerds, or for this verbally and physically abused, picked up and put into trash cans and even shoved into lockers. Enough is enough, Elliot yelled out loud to Russell and Catalina. So, that's when they formed an intellectual alliance to problem solve bullying at Parkland Middle School. Through the computer teacher, Access Privilege were honored to form the most widespread electronic communication ever in the history at Parkland Middle. I'd like to read you a couple of excerpts on pages 40, 41, and 40. Well,
okay, that's just an example of some of the book talks that I created through VoiceThread. What I want to do with this is introduce it to the kids that I have, and as an extension for them to work on and through VoiceThread to create their own book talks, their own book reviews, and to even extend that more, maybe collaborate with the literacy coach that we have at our school and a lot of different, you know, other subjects, the curriculum. This could probably really take off. I think this is the VoiceThread is just an absolutely wonderful tool to use in any class. I've had a lot of fun working with this. I know I could probably go into Audacity and put some music with it, and I'm sure probably the kids will do that as well. But I think this. You know, this is just the real rough stages of a work in progress. But it's been so delightful. It's such a different way of doing book talks and a wonderful way of engaging students and getting them hooked. Because it's really difficult when they come in the library, you know, to get them hooked because nothing's, you know, too stimulating. Everything is kind of lined up and organized and things of that nature. I mean, we can display books and such, but you know, they all have laptops, so this is a great way for them to be engaged and create at the same time and share. And I would encourage you highly to comment on my book talks and whatever on the wiki space.
Yes. Sorry.
My name is Tracy. I work in Sanford at the high school as a special education teacher. And I use a lot of technology in my classroom with kids. We do blogging. We run our own radio show that goes live when we schedule it. And so that's just some of the stuff that we're doing. And I was very excited to take this class so I could look at ways to expand upon what we're already doing in the class. And when it came time to developing the final project, I was thinking about it. And I have one particular student. All of my students are in my classroom because they've been placed there through the IEP process. They have a very difficult time learning how to express themselves appropriately. A lot of them have been hurt, abused. And so by the time they get to the high school, I have a lot of kids that have been behaviorally, they're pretty hard kids. And it's because they don't trust adults. And so one of the purposes for me to use technology in the classroom is to try and gain their trust, because this is one area where most kids, if they feel like they don't fit in with the regular high school scene, they fit in online with their friends in chat rooms and on MySpace, and they have a network of friends that might not exist right there in the school, but it exists for them nonetheless. And so I try and build upon tools that they already have, the skills that they already have, to make them feel successful in the classroom. And in doing so, I think that we, you know, my class is all about relationship building. We build relationships from day one. I don't sit behind my desk very often. I sit up down with the kids in the front of, you know, I might be in the front of the class, but we're kind of sitting in a circle. I try and run my class a lot of the time like graduate classes, where there's a lot of give and take and discussion, but then we do a lot of technology stuff as well. And one of the, you know, we've done digital storytelling where we've recorded on Audacity and we've added some music and sound effects, and the kids really, really enjoyed that at the end of last year. And when Alice showed us VoiceThread this week, I said, wow, what a logical extension to what we've already been doing. And then I was thinking, you know, about one particular girl who I blog with, because she has a difficult time controlling her behavior in other venues in the school for the entire week. So if I can get her to, what I've done as an incentive is I said, look, if you don't get any disciplinary reports all week long, we'll sit down and we'll blog. So her incentive is actually to sit down and write. And she totally bought into this because it was a blog. And so we sat down and developed this, and we wrote three chapters in this blog about a girl that she and I developed. Her name is Jade, and the title of the blog is called Jade's Mystical Journey, and I've gone and provided a link on my wiki page to that. And what I did this week is I recorded one of those chapters in VoiceStream and enhanced that with some music and some pictures as an example of what I'd like my students to be doing. Now, not every single one of my students necessarily will. She's the only one so far that has a story that she's written. This could be an incentive to other kids to actually write stories, fictional stories as well, or even non-fictional stories that are, you know, about their families, because they always write autobiographies every year, so this would be a way to incorporate their own personal life stories. Or they could certainly borrow a story, like a classic children's story, and do the same thing and incorporate some art and stuff. A lot of this is being done on, you know, like Harry Potter fan sites and stuff like that. So I would show those as examples to my students of, look, this is what this Harry Potter fan put on YouTube or something like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, actually, I have it posted here, but I'd like to show you guys the actual blog, and I have it posted there as well. So I'm going to pull up my actual blog so that you can see what the student and I created. And this is what it looks like. And if you scroll down now, you'll see pictures that she incorporated here. I posted my VoiceThread here, and you'll see the different chapters that we have. And I'm going to go ahead and play the VoiceThread, just part of it, so you guys get an idea of what I did. I don't think I'm going to play the whole thing, although Susan has badgered me to do so.
You're going to play it. You're going to play without sound, and I'm going to play it with sound.
All right.
Am I ready?
I just pushed the play. So.
Okay.
It was a fall day, the kind where the leaves slide down from the trees, spinning and swirling in their final moments before coming to rest on Earth. A tall, slender young teenage girl strode through the park, taking her usual shortcut along the lake. Even though her feet shuffled through the leaves, she was oblivious to her surroundings. She did not notice the blowing leaves or the geese teaching their younglings how to take flight on the cool morning waters. She was so deep in thought that she never noticed that she was being watched and followed. A desperate man who lived in the surrounding woods had been watching her all week. He noticed things that she did not. She always walked alone. She always carried an expensive purse. Her clothes had designer labels. She wore top-of-the-line jewelry, and her arms carried a heavy load of books. The aimless man had hungrily eyed her belongings, but had patiently waited for the right moment to take them. He did not want to be caught. He could not risk that an early morning jogger or someone walking their dog might notice anything. The timing had not been right all week long until that morning. It had rained the night before. The fog was still lifting off the water, and the ground was still sodden and damp. No one was strolling in the park that day except Jade. Jade was always lost in thought. She was an only child raised by nannies and butlers, while her parents traveled the world on business and pleasure. They were not unkind people or cruel. They gave her everything as a young girl, anything she could ever want except their time. When Jade was little, their inattention made her sad. So she sang to herself to relieve that sadness. Everywhere she went, she hummed a tune in her head. She wrote lyrics and beautiful melodies in her mind, humming them into creation. Jade had given up being driven to school by the chauffeur so that she could have the quiet time to practice her songs in the privacy of nature. She was singing her latest song. Stalker attacked. He rushed up behind her, knocked her to the ground, and her books scattered across the wet grass, and the geese began to honk and flap their wings in alarm. Jade was dazed and struggled to get to her feet. The slippery leaves on top of the wet, grassy turf put her at a disadvantage. She was so frightened she couldn't even scream. In her terror, everything felt as if it were in slow motion, and she noticed that she could sense the smallest details. The individual raindrops on the leaves, the sounds of leaves separating from their branches overhead, and the movement of small animals peering out from the woods, and the pounding of her own heart. Jade clawed the ground in an attempt to get away. The man grabbed at her, and his hands caught onto her necklace. It momentarily strangled her, and then it broke away, causing her to fall once more. Jade stumbled forward and began to pull away, but he grabbed her by the back of her shirt, catching her long brown hair in his grip. Jade screamed and twisted around and threw her left hand up to defend herself. To her astonishment, a bolt of bluish-green sparks burst out of her palm and struck her attacker in the chest. His eyes widened and his mouth gaped open in shock as he slumped to the ground. Jade fell back and watched in confusion as her attacker gasped for air and writhed in agony. He struggled for a few seconds, then fell silent. She was not sure if he was faking or if she had hurt him somehow. It all happened too fast. What was that lightning-like bolt? How had it come out of her hand? She looked at her hand and saw nothing out of the ordinary. She looked back at her fallen attacker and then decided to run. She grabbed her books and began to sob as she ran the way she had come. She knew she was not going to school today.
The only thing you're missing is... Thank you. There is a credits page if you go to my wiki page, or to this Blogspot, which also has a link. There's a credits page that rolls afterwards. For those of you who are interested in what happens to Jade afterwards, you can also go to the blog page.
No!
There's two more chapters there as well. And, you know, the student would really appreciate perhaps some comments from anybody who wants to, because her dad went in and commented, and a couple of other students. But this has actually been a very... It's completely, I couldn't believe how receptive the other students were, because, you know, as you can well understand, she gets into a lot of trouble. She's a very dramatic girl, so a lot of the kids get very frustrated with her because she'll, like, pick fights with them and stuff like that. And yet they've been wholly supportive of this. And it's been a great way for her to channel a lot of her drama into something productive rather than picking fights with other kids and stuff. And they've been really receptive to it, and they've consistently asked her, when are you going to write another chapter? And they've all read it. They've had it read to them in class. So they really enjoy it. And so I foresee doing this with all of my students and probably expanding upon even this and going in, well, definitely expanding upon this and going in and creating perhaps our own movie productions and perhaps even acting this out and stuff. And we just, my kids, they don't fit in with the rest of the rest of the school a lot of the time. They wouldn't feel comfortable going to the drama club. But they do drama club with Miss P. So I don't have a problem doing that with them. So we kind of bypass a lot of the things. But in doing so, we actually engage in a lot more than they would get in the traditional drama clubs and stuff like that. These kids have been hosting their own radio show for the last year now. They're very proud of that. They've been publishing their own blogs. These are kids that won't write for other teachers, and yet they're writing prolifically on their blog sites. So I just think that this is the greatest. I'm so glad that I took this class because it's given me the tools to build upon what I need to do for the next year and in the future. And like I said to you earlier, Alice, I just think it's great that not only did you teach us things here in the class, but you gave us the tools to expand our learning outside of here with all of the websites and the prolific amount of information that you've given us. So I just wanted to thank you for that. Any questions? Questions,
and what they're saying in the chat room is it's fantastic to see what your students have done with podcasting and other tools, so that's nice.
That's great.
Yep. So I put the Jade's Mystical Journey in the chat room, so
great.
Some people may go in there, and someone says, and now other teachers might catch on.
Yeah, hopefully. We're working on that where I work.
Any other students seen it?
She hasn't. You know, I have her mom's email address, so I was thinking about trying to get in touch with them tonight or something and sending them they already have the blog, so if she checks it, she might see it and be very pleasantly surprised. She probably won't be that surprised. She'll say, oh, Miss P's at it again with the technology. So my kids like it, though. I can't say enough about the way it's just completely changed their lives and mine. I don't even feel like I go to work anymore. I get up in the morning, I'm like, what am I going to do today? That, you know, it's all technology-based, and they pay me to go in and have fun. And that's the way teaching ought to be. And learning should be fun for the kids.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Susan Blake, and I teach 8th grade social studies and Maine studies at Brunswick Junior High in Brunswick, Maine. And every year we do a huge project called Biography Day, where students research a person who has had a biography written about them and has had major contributions to the United States. And we start right before Christmas. They pick out their person and their book, and they read it over vacation. And then they fill out a series of journal entries and take notes, sometimes in NoteShare, or different teachers do it a little differently. And one of the final journal entries is a 5-paragraph essay. And then they take their notes and they highlight and they put them together on note cards, and they start practicing to present their person to the sixth and seventh graders at the junior high. So one of the most difficult parts of this for them is getting over their fear of presenting and talking out loud. And they need to do it in character. We ask them, we help them come up with props, some of them, and they dress in character, and they present in character. And so we practice a lot in many different ways, and podcasting seems to me a perfect way for them to practice, make changes as to how they sound, their intonations, and to make them sound like they really are the person, and they present to me as well. So we do lots of different different ways. So podcasting is the next step, I think, or VoiceThread. Either way would work perfectly. So I did a sample podcast on Margaret Chase Smith because that's who I am on Biography Day. And I went up to her library and did research and had my costume and my little rose and my lapel pin. And the only thing is my hair's not gray anymore because I dye it. So I bought a gray wig, but you know, it just doesn't work. So I pretend I'm younger, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I'm only going to play you a little bit of my podcast about her. It's listed as Final Project. And it was a trial run, and when we put music in, I lost a little bit of the intro. The opening line says, the year was 1950, and all you get is 1950, but that's all right. When I have more time in my next life, I'll redo it.
Hold on one
I will. I'm just getting to the page.
Yeah, I've opened it, but it's loading, so.
Okay.
Oh, I could play it. You don't need to. This is just your pop.
Yeah, it's just voice. There's no pictures.
So you go ahead. Yeah, okay. Ready? That's the one up top, right?
Miss M.C. Smith.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The threat of communism growing in Eastern Europe and China had the United States overwhelmed with fear and raging concerns. This time in United States history is referred to as the Cold War. It was East versus West. Russia and their satellites versus the United States and their allies. It was a technology race with scientists on both sides being pushed to invent the best technology for every aspect of life, war, lunar exploration, and so much more. Competition, rivalry, and tension were at an all-time high. Espionage was at a peak. So the second I read it twice, the first time I had a huge pause, so I went back and I was going to make adjustments, and it didn't work. So I erased it all, and I read it again. And the second time I read it, I put in more mannerisms than I had the first time. So I'm sure it'll work, and I'm sure they'll collaborate together in groups wherever they might be and work on it and make each other's better. And they'll also come up with ideas for props to help each other, and it's just going to be a fantastic tool for them to use to become more comfortable with the material, because the more comfortable they are with the material, the more at ease they will be at presenting when it comes time on Biography Day. It's a long project, and I didn't put any links to it, but if anybody wants more information, you can email me and I'll send it to you. The only other thing I did, and you don't need to play it, is I did a voice thread of the Battle of Manassas, and I chose to do that. It's very brief, and it just talks about a couple of unique things that that battle is noted for. And when I give projects like that for them to do research on a battle and give me information, I always ask them to look for unique and unusual descriptions, events, or happenings, because it makes it so much more interesting to the reader or to whoever you're presenting to. So in this Battle of Manassas, I just talked about how they all came from Washington, D.C. with their picnic baskets because they thought it was going to be a real show and it would be done like this, you know, in no time. And the other thing I included in it was the fact that it was the first time reinforcements had been brought in by train from the south. So that's just a little example you can listen to on your own so that they can do that themselves when we get to the Civil War. So great class, great new tools I've learned. I've learned how to go to use Gmail accounts and add my kids to my account so they can go onto my wiki, and I'm happy.
Great job.
I'm Karen Miliano, and I am the librarian at Carl J. Lamb Elementary School in Springvale, Maine. And my final project is, it's multifaceted as always. what I've done is I've created another wiki in Wiki Spaces for some book talks about books that are in our library's collection. And it's multi, a lot of different things I want to hope to see happen. Here's a picture of my library. And here are the books that are, that I did this in RockU, and just the covers of the books that are featured in the wiki. And each book has a separate page. So, for instance, his Borghita and the Coyote. And I used VoiceThread. I put the cover of the book in, and I've tried to do some to upload some music clips on occasion, and then to give a book talk. So, just play it.
Borghita is a little girl lamb who matches wits with a hungry coyote time after time. She tells the coyote that he should wait until she is fatter. She keeps coming up with excuses for the coyote not to eat her. Find out how she finally persuades the coyote to leave her alone once and for all. Read Borghita and the Coyote, a tale from Aluta, Mexico.
And at the bottom of, underneath the screen, I give directions, and I put the same directions on everyone, but just saying that if they want, you know, how to play it, and then if they want to leave comments. And then I also add here, like, where it's repeating, you know, like, what you'd find in the online card catalog, but just where the call number and where that is in the library, so another, you know, way for them maybe to find it. So I've started to do this, and I don't have... you know, you can see just a few, and they're not even all done yet. I did want to show you Command a Toad. These are a series of books by Jane Yolen. And since it was a series as opposed to Borghita, which is just a single title, I thought maybe I would do a podcast and do RockU, but then I decided that I really liked using VoiceThread better. I think it's less confusing, and so I'm going to redo this in VoiceThread. But just so you can see that, I thought, you know, it would be really cool to have the book circulating all the time. But then I think it maybe is, I don't know, I just don't like it as well. So anyway, scratch that one. And what I wanted to do with, one of the things that I want to do with these book talks is I want to actually link them from the card catalog, the online card catalog. So if I can go back. No, I don't think you have to play anything. I just want to show you an example. This is from the Portland Public Library's online catalog. And this is when you do a search in an OPAC, which is the online catalog, you get a record like this. And but as a librarian, we get to see what's called a MARC record. And that's really like the code for how you see a record. So I know that you can do it because I've seen it in records that I've gotten from... Baker and Taylor, is that in one of these lines of code, you can actually put a link in. So when the students go use the OPAC, the computers in the library, they could, if they happen upon a record that has a link, they could click on that link, which would take them to the wiki page where they could hear it at the book talk, and then possibly comment on it. So that's my goal. I haven't figured out how to do it yet because, of course, my catalog isn't on the web, so I have to wait until I can get to school to do it. But and then the ultimate goal, geez, if you see this, is Portland Public Library's records. Oh, not on this one, but yes, it should be. Oh, regular display. There it is. In the regular display, what they've done, this is so cool, they've linked it to library thing, and they have all the tags. So when you read those tags, you really have a summary of the book, which is better than a little lamb uses her clever wiles to keep a coyote from eating her up. So this would be really cool. And apparently, Innovative Interfaces is actually a company, and they sell the software that allows you to do this, I believe, as far as I can tell so far. But anyway, someday, that's what library catalog should be like. And okay, the other.
My name is Karen Emery, and I'm not a classroom teacher. I'm a technology integrator at Fred C. Westcott Junior High School in Westbrook. And I do teach one class in the classroom. It's an eighth grade computer elective where I try to take the students beyond some of the activities they'd use technology with in the regular classroom. We really try to get in depth with things like HTML and web design and that sort of thing. But anyway, the rest of the time I go into the classrooms and I integrate with teachers. And let me get down here to the... every year I have to set three major goals that I'm going to accomplish for the year. And this year, one of my goals was to develop online learning content. It's specifically for sixth graders. And the reason that we want to do that is because in our school, of course, MLTI allows us the laptops for the 7th and 8th graders, but the 6th graders have the older generation iBooks, the G3s, and they're on carts. There's not enough for all the kids. They don't get as much opportunity to use technology yet to implement technology standards through all three grades. Based on the NET standards. And we've actually taken those NET standards and tailored them to Westbrook, and we have specific things that we want a 6th grader to know, a 7th grader to know, and an 8th grader to know. So these 6th graders have got to accomplish so many things to meet what we have for expectations, but they don't have a laptop one-to-one. So we had to figure out a way to kind of get them up to speed on basic computer skills that they need for these standards, and also to help them when they get into 7th and 8th grade. So we decided that, to make a long story short, we decided that developing online content that they could go to, like in their study hall or at the end of a class when they have some free time, where they could, you know, play games or go through modules that explain different concepts to them might be a good way to do it. And I've been looking for a way to develop online content. I've never done it before. And I'm going to use Moodle for developing the coursework, but I need to have something that I'm putting on Moodle. And I wanted something interactive or with audio, video. And so this podcast thing is really going to fit the bill, because what I thought I could do is create these instructional podcasts that the sixth graders could sit and listen to. And then after they watch the podcast, I could have some activities, hands-on activities that they could do. So, you know, during their study halls, they could use the laptops from the carts, or there are some PCs in the room, and the podcast would be a start. So anyway, this is my first one. This is my first attempt at an instructional podcast. Wait just a minute. Hang on. Just a second. One thing I wanted to mention, too, as far as a collaboration piece, I mentioned the Moodle site that I'm going to put these podcasts on. That Moodle is the Sebago Alliance Moodle, which is for three towns. It's Westbrook, Windham, and Gorham. So, you know, feasibly, if this turned out to be a good thing and I could develop a bunch of modules, tech integrators in the other schools might be interested in doing the same thing, and we could share them. And if students liked it, you know, it might also be an opportunity, you know, maybe the regular classroom teachers would like to do some online content just to kind of extend things. I'm not sure where it will go, but hopefully somewhere. Okay. I'm going to go into iTunes. I did my instructional podcast. I did the audio part in GarageBand. And then I took the MP3 file that I created from that, and I put it in iMovie. And then I used PowerPoint to develop the slides, the content slides. And then I converted those to JPEGs and brought those into iMovie, and then took that iMovie and sent it, the eventual iMovie video podcast, and I sent that to iTunes, so... Well, wait just a minute, because I've got to get there, too. Can I just minimize this?
Yep. Ooh. 1 million windows open.
Somewhere here. There we go. When you do a podcast, a video podcast, and you're using iMovie, the file format that it comes out in is an M4V file. And that's what I'm going to play in iTunes. Okay, I guess I'm ready to...
So you double-click it. It's already playing. It looks... Oh.
You can pull back the...
Yeah. And pull the timer back to the beginning up top, and then tell me when you're ready to...
By the way, this is just a basic skill that a lot of the sixth graders need, definitely refresher. Some of them actually need
search engines.
An intro.
Hey, this is Ms. Emery. Today we're going to talk about search engines.
Good. Oh, my God.
You know, I bet every one of you has had an experience where you go out to the web to look for something, and you spend hours and hours and never find what you're looking for.
Just push
it. Well, I hope those days are over. I'm going to show you some tips and tricks to help you search the web more effectively. First of all, there are several different types of search engines. Google, which is probably the most popular, Yahoo Search, and Ask.com. All these are great search engines, and they actually have a web robot that goes out and looks for search engines that match your topic against a collected database that they store. Search engines can be even more effective if you know a few points. For example, Boolean operators. The words and, or, and not can be helpful when you search the web. Let me explain what and does. If you put two words in a search engine, such as France and wheat, then it's looking for a website where both words are mentioned, in either order. You say, why not put France wheat? Then it could be in either order as well. But if you put them in quotation marks on each side, it only finds these two words in that order. It can't be wheat, France. There can't be any words between them. That's what the quotation marks do. Let's talk about or. Say you put Boston or Celtics. Both words wouldn't have to be there. But as long as Boston is mentioned or Celtics is mentioned, or both, you will get a correct result for that search. The most powerful Boolean operator is probably not. You can put Boston, not Celtics, and it will find everything that talks about Boston but does not mention Celtics. So you won't get the same matches about Boston Celtics when you're interested in touring Boston, not going to a basketball game. Search engines can be very effective. There's even one called a meta tag search engine. What you can do with meta search engines is it will look at several search engines at the same time. An example of that is dogpile.com. Yes, I said dogpile. What it does here is it searches multiple search engines in their environment so you don't have to search from one search engine to another to find an exact match. Make sure, once you think you've found some good content, that you actually notice that it is good. Is it the correct authority? Is it someone in charge who maybe has educational degrees that published the site? Or is it someone in third grade who has no idea about what they just posted? Don't forget, this is not like publishing a textbook where you have to check out the author's certification. Also make sure there's not a bias. Sometimes people have something that they want to publish that could be incorrect, just to point out their view. For example, if you are searching the web looking up sites about the great man Martin Luther King, if you didn't know anything about Martin Luther King, you might come across the site by the KKK and use it as a source. Not exactly the best site to get information from. If you use that site as a primary source, you would come out with a paper full of lies. So make sure you find a site that doesn't have bias. And make sure it's also current. You don't want to find a 1912 unabridged dictionary when you look up the current definition of a word. You want it up to date. Well, good luck and happy surfing. Hope it all goes well. Enjoy some search engines.
And I do the content material for this because I didn't have time to develop the content myself. It's Corinne Hoisington at a community college in Virginia. So I guess that's it.
So the chat room is asking questions about were there tears along the way? How much time did you spend outside of class doing these projects? So take a little time and just kind of look those over. And chat room folks, thank you so much for coming. This was absolutely great to have you in the chat room to see these phenomenal teachers. Oh my gosh, you just blew me away, you guys. Woo!
Thank you, Alice.
Oh, you are most welcome. Oh my goodness.
My pleasure. This was really fun week.